Turning this morning to the book of Ephesians. If you're visiting with us today, we're so glad you're here. We've been studying the book of Ephesians now for some time. We got to chapter 5 last week, verse 1, and have been camped there for a couple of weeks, I think, and probably aren't going to be leaving it anytime soon. But the cadets have asked us to back up to chapter 3. And to review a section that I know that we've looked at some couple of months ago, but nonetheless, it's good to review and to see this text in a fresh way here on Cadet Sunday. So we're looking at Ephesians 3. I'm going to read from verses 14 to 19. But as you saw on your bulletin cover, their word challenging them this year is to be rooted and grounded. And you'll see that, of course, in our text this morning. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19, hear the word of the Lord. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. The word of the Lord to us this morning, now from this wonderful text before us. I invite you to keep your Bible open as we walk through these verses. You note, of course, in this text that Paul is praying. He's praying for the Ephesian Christians. He's praying for them specific requests. We'll see those requests laid out for us. I note three of them in a broad way that Paul is praying. He's bent the knee, he says. I'm so before the throne of God that I can't even stand. I've got to do it on my knees. So this is a passionate prayer for the church in Ephesus. And it's certainly a passionate prayer for us here at Walker and focused this morning on our cadets. So I'm so glad you guys are sitting in the second row. I was hoping you'd be in the front row, but that's all right. Got you up close where I can see you. And we can talk this morning about this very text. Because boys, I think there's a lot here in this text that's got your name all over it. And mine too. So may God give us grace as we walk through it. First of all, what's Paul praying? He's praying that you would be strengthened with power through His Holy Spirit in your inner being. That the power of the Holy Spirit, we get this word dynamite from this word power, that the dynamite of the Holy Spirit, the power of the third person of the Trinity, would do something for you. That He would strengthen you with His Spirit, in your inner being, He says. The core of who you are. That God would give you great strength through the power, not your power, not my power, not your cadet counselor's power, but the Holy Spirit's power would strengthen you in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's His focus. That's His number one prayer. Boom. That Christ may dwell, live, reside, camp in your hearts. Okay? How? As you trust Him through faith. Now we get to the second request. That you being, and here's your phrase for this year, rooted and grounded in love, that you may have strength to comprehend the enormity of the love of Christ, that you may be intimate with the love of Christ. So that, again, focus on Christ. Now here, specifically, on His love for you, which is so enormous that Paul doesn't even know how to describe it. He breaks out into this attempt to try to say, I want you to know this. I want you to be close to this. By being rooted and grounded. Now, you've probably talked about this all year long, but let me just remind you, there's a difference between rooted and grounded, although certainly they're close. No, right? So Dave Mass and the greenhouse folks could probably tell us a lot more about this, but you know what happens to a seed. It has to break open for the roots to start to explode out of it. And if you've ever watched a corn seed break out and grow, it's just a fabulous thing to watch. If you can ever see it displayed in a way that you can watch it. That root just breaks out and it's got to get down. It's got to get deep fast. Because boy, you just don't know when a drought's going to come. And so Paul's saying, you've got to get rooted. You got to have this new birth occur in your heart that busts you out to sink your roots into Jesus Christ. But you know what happens to a plant that busts out with its root? It doesn't have any ground around it. It's going to be in trouble fast because it doesn't have anything to feed on. It's got to have the nutrition from the soil. And so, then when the wind comes, this plant's got to have roots that get grounded, that gets attached, holds on to Christ. Okay, so that's the picture, being rooted and grounded. So that you can have the strength to comprehend the enormity of the love of Christ. And then, that's an interesting word here, this idea of having this kind of strength to comprehend, as the ESV says, the strength. This is a different strength than the previous word that was used. In fact, in Ephesians 3:18, where this word is, it's not used anywhere else. You won't find this word anywhere else in the Greek. But it has to do with aggressively laying hold with power to Christ. That's how strong this word is. So aggressively lay hold of Christ for all that He is to you. Third request, to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's where we end up. That's the bottom line for Paul. So that you would be filled with the fullness of God. So, here's our prayer, boys. O Lord, give these cadet boys three things. The power of God, the presence of God, and the provision of God. Did you get those written down? Parents, you might want to write those down. Counselors, you might want to write this down. This is what Paul is... I'm really generalizing here. This is what Paul is praying over the Ephesian church. This is our prayer for us at Walker. That God would give us His power, that God would give us His presence, and that God would give His provision to us. So that we would overfill, be filled with the fullness of God, so much so that we're sharing Christ with others, because we're just overflowing. It's just overflowing. So the power of God, the Holy Spirit power, the presence of God, an ongoing intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. We have no interest here at this church with just religiosity. We have no interest in that. We have a great interest to know the Lord Jesus Christ and then to make Him known. That's our interest. It's Jesus Christ that Paul is praying they would be rooted and grounded in. And that God would provide them for all that they stand in need of so that they would just overflow with the fullness of God. Right? Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over. That's the picture here. So, a few introductory comments about this text. Number one, Paul is praying a massive prayer. This is not a minuscule prayer. This is a massive prayer. Counselors, I want to encourage you. Parents, I want to encourage you. Pray massive prayers over these boys. Let me put it this way. Pray manly prayers over young boys. Is that your prayers? If we had to listen to you pray this past week or past month over these boys, what would we hear you praying? Would it be a massive, manly prayer over these boys? That's what we need. Paul takes this very seriously here in this section on prayer. He is praying for God to do great and mighty things according to His glorious power. There isn't any shortage of the glory of God to answer his prayers. And so Paul prays big prayers. This is a challenge to us in the leadership here at the church. Elders, deacons, we need to be praying big prayers for God to do big things like lift up the cadet program and bring it to the great nation of Brazil and light that thing on fire. That's a massive prayer. And look what God has done. He has brought Brazilian boys here to this church to learn the cadet program so that they could take it back. Wow. What a calling on your life. What a calling on your life. How exciting. Number two, Paul is publicly praying a massive prayer for the Ephesians. So pray massive, manly prayers publicly over your boys. What do I mean by that? Don't let your prayers for these boys be a secret. Let them know what you're praying for them. I've been thinking about that with my grandkids. I've got to sit my kids down and make it clearer what Grandpa's praying over them. I really do. And I hope you, Grandpa, Grandma, that you will sit down with your grandkids and tell them, listen, I want you to know this is what I am praying specifically for you. Wow. Parents, let it be known what you're praying for your kids. Paul is praying to one who is rich in glory. Paul says in verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory. This is what we want our boys to see, the glory of God. Paul is praying to God. Okay, this one's a little sobering. Can I give this comment to you? Did you see it in the text? Did it run a little chill down your spine? Let me read it. That according to the riches, this is verse 16, do you see it? That according to the riches of His glory, He might grant you. Paul is praying to God who may or may not answer as Paul desires. That's sobering. So Paul is surrendering here and submissive to God's good plan. Not my plan, Lord, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. But here's what I'm praying, Lord. Bless these boys so much that they overflow with the fullness of God. Oh, Lord, that You would do that. Lord, don't let these boys run off into a love for this world and get all caught up in a love for this world, like too many of us are. Lord, help them as a new generation here in the United States and even in Brazil to now, oh Lord, be so overfilled with the fullness of God that they will ignite a new revival, a new reformation in the land. Can we pray those kind of prayers? Can we plead with God for such big things? That He might do it. Oh God, please do it. Pound on the door, as Jesus taught us in Luke 11. Pound on the door and ask God to do great and mighty things for our church. Number five, fifth, just introductory comment. This, like all prayers, declares our inability to achieve or produce what only God can. Prayer fully relies on the grace of God. It's not the only thing Paul did. He didn't just pray. He wrote them. He said to them, I love you. He wrote to them and said, I care for you. He visited them. He served them. He worked with them. Yes, he did all those things. He rolled up his sleeves. Yes. He wrote this letter. But he prayed. His work was a work of prayer. And if we're going to be in ministry, one of the great works in ministry is prayer. Yes, it's preaching. Yes, it's sharing the gospel. Yes. But it's also prayer. So incredibly important. I was with a grandma recently. She's in a wheelchair. And she's not one of these elderly who says, well, my life's over. Nothing I can do anymore. All I can do is just sit here in this wheelchair. That's it. You know what she does? Maybe I told you this before. She rolls her wheelchair up into the kitchen. And in the kitchen, here she's got pictures of these missionaries and pictures of all her grandkids, of course, and her family. And she rolls her wheelchair up there. Did I tell you this story before? I don't know. And she clicks the lock on her wheelchair, and that's where she sits for an hour, praying, praying, praying. So pray. Pray for Holy Spirit power, the kind of power that will take a boy and make him into a born-again, Christ-obeying, Spirit-filled, gospel-sharing, mission-minded, evil-hating, tender warrior. You want me to read that again? Oh God, would you make my boy born again, Christ-obeying, Spirit-filled, gospel-sharing, mission-minded, evil-hating, tender warrior. So the power that Paul's talking about here, we typically think of three powers of the Holy Spirit at work. Certainly the power to cause someone who is dead in their trespasses and sins to come to life, the power of regeneration. We think of that kind of power. That's not the power here that Paul's praying for, because he's writing to Christians. They've already been born again. He's praying about that second kind of power of the Holy Spirit, where he takes a man and causes him to walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. He takes a man and makes him into a 5:1, Ephesians 5:1 kind of man. Right? An imitator of God. That was our summit verse in Ephesians, if you're visiting with us this morning or visiting by way of live stream. That's what we saw. Oh God, take your power and make my boy into that kind of man, to be transformed into a man of God. An illustration, David and Goliath. Don't you love that story, boys? David, young little lad, shepherd boy, shows up. There's this Goliath guy, and everybody's Goliath. David hauls out his little slingshot and says, I'll take care of this rascal. Because all he's doing is disrespecting my God. That's an awesome story about a young boy who stands up in the kind of power we're talking about. And I hope, boys, that you got that kind of power just cooking in your heart. David and Goliath. So how do you know if you're rooted and grounded? How do you know if you have the power of God? I'll give you a few thoughts on that, okay? So here's my question, boys. Are you with me? How do you know if you have the power of God cooking inside of you? Let me give you the first one. You're going to laugh at me, but here I go. I'm going to give it to you. Number one, make your bed. You say, what? I didn't come to church to have some pastor tell me to go home and make my bed. Make your bed. I heard this Admiral William H. McRaven give a talk to a college senior class that was graduating. And the first thing he said to them was, students, what you need to do is go home and make your bed. Now listen, guys, I don't really care if you make your bed, but I care about this, that you learn to discipline yourself. Because if you don't discipline yourself, you'll never be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't work. It won't work. You won't have this power. You won't have this power. Why? What is this deal about making a bed? You know what you do when you make your bed? You discipline yourself. You say, you know what? I'm going to leave my room tidy the way it ought to be. I'm going to conquer something first thing in the morning. I'm going to achieve something first thing in the morning. Silly. But it's not silly. This is life or death right here. Listen to me. Weak. Boys are undisciplined. They're always the first to quit because they are not rooted and they're not grounded in Christ. Do you want to grow up to be a quitter? No. So start by making your bed. Stop making your sorry excuses. You're only hurting yourself. They don't just seek for a clean room. They seek for a clean heart. Job 31:1, I made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what boys do that are becoming men. They get disciplined about their mouth and about their eyes and about their ears and about where they go and who they hang out with. And they're always found with their Bible, listening to Christ. Strong boys do not use foul language. Wimpy boys use foul language. That includes men who want to shrink it off as factory talk or farm talk or whatever kind of talk. Wimpy boys use foul language because they're trying to sound tough when in fact they're not. Are you tough? Are you strong for Christ? You won't use that kind of language. You don't need to use that kind of language. Ever. They do not talk back to their mother. Ever. They say, yes, ma'am. They respect their father. So they exercise their muscles by emptying the trash and getting the door for their mother. I thought maybe a mom would say amen this morning, but okay. I'm working on you. Strong boys have goals. They set big goals. Do all you do for the glory of God is the way the Scriptures puts it. Do all you do that God would be magnified. Yeah. Goal number one, never tell a lie. An honest boy is a strong boy. Strong boys are never liars. They just tell the truth. Daniel, such an example of that. Check out chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or the wine that he drank. See, Daniel was a young lad dragged off to Babylon. I don't even know what happened to his parents. And here he is, far away. He could have sat down in a corner and just cried all the time. Instead, he got up strong and said, I am not going to be one of those that defiles myself. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to go God's way. And when they tried to get him in trouble in chapter 6, you remember the story, ended up getting him in the lion's den. You remember the story? It was because they couldn't figure out how to get after him. He was good in all his work practices. He never cheated. He never lied. He never stole. Daniel. So strong boys have good mentors. And I'm thankful, and I know you are, for the mentors, the counselors in the cadet program. Thank you, guys. Here's a strong mentor you might want to consider, some of you older boys. You ever checked out the life of Jonathan Edwards? This guy, he's amazing on a lot of levels. But Jonathan Edwards, he was from a large family. What did he have? 10 sisters, I think he did. Yeah, talk about spoiled. He became a pastor at age 18. Not unprepared, far more prepared than I am. 18. He was 20 years old and met his wife. You know how old she was? She was 13. He patiently waited till she was 17 to marry her. Jonathan Edwards, he wrote all these resolutions. In fact, I think he wrote 70 of them. What's a resolution? He decided he was going to do this. He was a Daniel kind of guy that says, I am going to set myself to do this. And I'll read a few of the resolutions. Resolved. He starts every one with this. Resolved. I love that. To live with all my might while I do live. So he did everything he could with all of his might. Talk about a guy that made his bed, right? Made it with all his might. He followed the Lord Jesus Christ with all his might. That's the way he lived. Here's another resolution. Never to lose one moment of time, but improve it. the most profitable way I possibly can. I don't think he had a cell phone. How much time are we wasting on a cell phone nowadays, folks? Right? Nice device. I got one. Handy. Big temptation to waste a lot of my time. Resolved never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it was the last hour of my life. Resolved to inquire every night as I go to bed if I've been negligent, if I have sinned. So he's inquiring every night, God, would you help me? Help me think through the day. Is there anything I've done that I don't recognize during the day? I just missed it, but I sinned. Lord, I don't want to hit... this head is not going to touch that pillow until I am sure I'm right with you. What a resolve. What is it? See, that's... So boys, there's an idea for you. Every night before you go to bed. I know a friend of mine, he used to say, I will not let my head touch the pillow if I have not had my head in the Word of God that day. I am not allowed to go to bed until I've read my Bible. That's a good decision to make. That draws the line in the sand right there. Here's another one. Another goal for you to set for yourself. I will keep myself sexually pure from marriage. We'll be talking about that in chapter 5 when we get there, a couple weeks. I remind you, boys, I remind you, congregation, your body is the temple of the living God. Keep it holy. Your body, keep it holy. And last, serve others. Pray, oh God, help me to keep my eyes off myself and onto others. So let me conclude. I know we're over time. Let me conclude. Three things. Go ahead. Summarize it. Boys, let's try to do this, okay? Write these three things down in your mind. Write these things down. Seek Jesus. Number two, slay evil. Number three, serve others. Okay? Let me give it to you one more time. Oh God, help me to seek Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, help me to slay evil, to kill it. Don't play with it. Men don't play with evil. Boys play with evil, but men should never play with evil. So boys, grow up, mature yourself so that you slay an evil. And then third, serve others. Become a helper to others. This will root you in so that you will be well grounded for the life ahead. Boys, I want to remind you this morning that with all these challenging things to take on, God will help you. And we want to help you. We want to help you as a pastor. We want to help you as elders. We want to help you as deacons. We want to help you as counselors. We want to help you as Sunday school teachers. We want to be help. Your parents want to help you. Rise up to be great men of God. So while you're a boy, yes, be a boy. That's who you are. That's fine. That's good. Have fun. Play. Yes. But seek Jesus, slay evil, and serve others. Let's pray. So, Father, we want to just huddle around these boys right now and pray for them. The need of the hour in our churches and in our culture is men of God. This is what we need. Father, we pray that every one of these boys will rise up to be a strong man of God. Now, Lord, bless them as they enjoy their boyhood. Yes. But help them to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. First, by making profession of their faith of Christ. And second, by imitating Christ each and every day. And Father, help them to slay evil. Guard their eyes, guard their ears, guard their mouth, O Lord. And then, Lord, Cause them to be useful in your kingdom, bringing you glory and honor in all that they do and say. So, Father, thank you for these boys that are here today. It's exciting to see what you are doing in their lives. For you're the God of great power. And we have seated here today evidence of your great power. And we give you all the praise and all the glory this day. Father, bless these boys. Thank you for their homes. Thank you for all the love you're pouring on them. But Father, use them to your glory, we ask. Now in Jesus' name.